It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. And if you go to the website, you can see all the different show recaps for each day. Just click on that. And that has the podcasts and additional information in there. We also have started our new Sounding Off with Kim Munson. There's some great podcasts there, as well as our Headlines for Hope. So be sure and check all of that out. Happy Tuesday to all of you. I want to say thank you to the great team that I get to work with, and that is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. And very thrilled to have Patty Kurgan. She will be our guest in segments 3 and 4. And she's a researcher. She's an author. She's got a great op-ed at our website, KimMunson.com, on why work. And we've also got some great authors there. So, Steve, it is Tuesday morning. How are you doing this morning, producer Steve?
Oh, well, hey, it's the day after Monday, so I'm celebrating.
You always are, for sure.
I need to go read that why work thing, because the more I hear, there's more people on the fence, not sure they want to go back to their job because they're getting paid to stay home.
And we're going to be talking about that. And that is just not sustainable. You know, we talk about sustainability all the time. That's a catchword for sure out of, you know, out of the left's agenda is sustainability. And this is not sustainable to be paying people not to work. So it'll be a great and important conversation in the segments 3 and 4. And to each of you listeners, you're each treasured, you're valued. Go out today, be productive, be industrious, work, and strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And even if you're not at the office, there's always things that can be done to help out a neighbor or do something around your place of residence. And as we look at these issues, we look at them as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Or what we're seeing now is freedom versus fear, fear versus freedom. And this fear that has overtaken many of the people in our nation is just, they're throwing freedom out the window. And I'm really, really concerned about that. It's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood. And we're seeing that happen across the United States, and particularly here in Colorado. And it's never compassionate to do that with via force or fear, and with a weapon policy unpredictable or excessive taxation.
You know, this freedom versus force, force versus freedom, if I can get it out, has been your mantra, your motto now for quite a while. But I'm thinking, it rolls off the tongue so easily. These terms are now being defined in living color right in front of us. You know, if you took your freedom for granted, now that it's being taken away in different, you know, form or fashion, maybe you have a better understanding of what it really is. And in terms of force, you know, the heavy-handedness that we're seeing in some situations, it's just incredible.
Yeah, you know, it used to be we would talk to people and they'd say, you know, I'm not into politics. You know, I'm just not into politics. Well, we can see now that politics is into you. And this is not, you know, this just didn't happen, Steve. This has been a long road to get to the spot where we are. I was I thought, well, I'm going to take a look at this Article 25, this statute regarding giving the all these different health departments all of this power. And it's been, I'm not even sure, I didn't get through all of it because it's over 1,000 pages long, if you can believe that. So how is it that we have a Constitution and a Declaration of Independence that put together a country, and it's just a small little booklet, and just in Colorado regarding the health department and giving our power to all of these different health agencies is over 1,000 pages long. Would you have ever dreamed that that is part of our Colorado state statute now, Steve?
No, but, you know, I've stopped saying, I've been saying in a humorous degree to people for the last 25 years, I have stopped saying it couldn't get any worse than this.
Well, but, you know, and I as I look at these issues, we talk about them as looking at them as, you know, what Rudyard Kipling said. He said, I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who. And so in this second segment, we've seen that the woman that opened up her restaurant down in Castle Rock, and it looked like it was standing room only, that Governor Polis has come in and he is shutting her down. And so we're going to go through this a bit, I think, Steve, and go what and why and when and how and where and who. Because I'm just scratching my head on this, because before we went on air, you and I were having a little conversation about that. And I'm just not really sure about that. So let's jump in here. I actually, you know what? I lost my quote. I have the guy, but I lost my quote somehow. That here we go. H.G. Wells. He said Herbert George Wells was an English writer. He was prolific in many genres. He wrote dozens of novels, short stories, and works of social commentary, history, satire, biography, and autobiography. His work also included two books on recreational war games. And Wells is now best remembered for his science fiction novels and is often called the father of science fiction, along with Jules Verne and the publisher Hugo Gernsback. He lived from 1866 to 1946. And this is what he said. He said, the man who raises a fist has run out of ideas. What do you think of that, Steve?
Wow, that pretty much describes the left. They have no ideas.
And that is, you know, that is the symbol of communism. That is the symbol, you know, of the hand, the fist up in the air. And so, yes, I thought that was very, very important today. So sometimes it's inspiration / wisdom.
You want to flesh that out a little bit? I mean, I just heard it again yesterday. They're promising from on the left, if Trump wins in November, that they will go back to impeachment proceedings again. No, again.
About what?
Well, who cares? They don't like his socks. But the whole point they're making is, like, we don't have any ideas. We don't have people who are leaders. So this is the best we got. We'll just try, you know, keep trying to drag this guy down, even if he gets another term. So that quote from H.G. Wells, right on.
I hadn't really thought about it. So you ran out of ideas. So the fist here would be an impeachment. The man who raises a fist has run out of ideas. Very good one, Steve. You're on your game. You must have had your coffee this morning. So.
Well, and it's not Monday, so Chris is here.
Okay, and I have a funnies. Are you ready for this?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Joe Biden walks into a bar and sits down next to a very attractive blonde, and he says, excuse me, do I come in here often?
That's a little too close to the truth.
I know. Hey, let's jump over here. Chris Cantwell with Trans World Business Advisors. You know, we're trying to keep an eye on what's happening with all these small to mid-sized businesses out there. And Chris Cantwell is in the business of helping people buy and sell their businesses, their dreams. Chris Cantwell, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim and Steve. Hope you're both doing well.
We are. And how about you?
I am doing fantastic. And I've got some good news to share today.
Well, let's have it.
All right. Well, here's what I'm going to share. Deals, business transactions are still getting done. Just a week ago now, I was able to help a deal get closed in the radon mitigation industry. The seller was in his 70s, ready to retire. He'd had this business for, I think, 15 or 16 years now. The buyer was a first-time business owner, and she came from the project management industry. So no construction experience, but a lot of project management, which really most businesses kind of frame around project management and running a business. So she was a first-time business owner. The deal was negotiated and agreed upon for the COVID situation. So we had to work through some financing. The seller was putting some money down, or I'm sorry, the buyer was putting some money down and doing an SBA loan. That takes some time. The typical SBA process is about 8 weeks. So we got all this started before the outbreak. And as things were shutting down and things were getting kind of gray and ugly, the buyer got a little nervous and wanted to wait to see kind of how everything was going to come out of this at the end of the day. And what we learned in that process was the business just kept getting phone calls. People were obviously locked up in their homes. They were worried about having radon in their homes with how much time they were spending there and their kids being in there. So the business just continued to grow. It was considered an essential business. And the buyer kept seeing the results of what the business seller was doing and said, hey, we got to get this deal done. So she committed to it. We locked in the deal. And then she learned through the CARES Act that she was going to get 6 months of waived payments, meaning the SBA was going to pay her first 6 months business SBA loan payments, not deferred onto the back end. The SBA was paying it. So she's going to get 6 months without any payments, and this is a great opportunity for her to build her base of working capital in this deal. So the deal got done. They're in transition mode right now. She is super excited. The seller's legacy continues. The employees all get to keep their jobs. Their excellent service will go on. The people that depend on him, a lot of real estate brokers depend on this company. And the buyer is now an entrepreneur with her very first business.
I love that story. And what happens, you know, regarding this business for like radon mitigation, is that another different business or is that something that this company does?
That is exactly what they do. So they'll go in and they can test your home. Actually, most of the tests you can get online. They send you a little kit in the mail. You have the test set up for about a week, and then you send the results in. They come back and say, hey, yeah, here's the levels of radon in your business. This is what we recommend. In some cases, they'll say, you really don't have any radon readings at all, so you don't need a radon mitigation system. Or they'll come in and say, yeah, they're a little bit higher than what's recommended, and we can put a system in for you, and you can live in your home comfortably, not worrying about radon.
I love it. I love having this great story during this crazy time that's going on, Chris Cantwell. And you are up as a finalist for one of what, the small to mid-sized businesses from the Denver Business Journal. And that's pretty exciting as well. And that will be determined, or that will be announced in August, did you say last week?
I did, yeah. Yeah, so we're one of the finalists, and we've been able to really grow and help people transition either, you know, out of their businesses, and in this case, retire, and help people get into businesses for the first time and be an entrepreneur. And we've been able to really grow over the last few years. We've got a little over 20 employees now, so we're considered a mid-sized company in our segment. And yeah, we're at the end of the day, it'd be fun to win awards, but we just like helping people transition from the corporate world to business ownership.
And how can people find you, Chris Cantwell?
They can call me at 844-SELL-BIZ, B-I-Z, 844-SELL-BIZ. And all of my contact information is on the KimMonson.com website.
Well, you got it. Well, Chris Cantwell, thank you so much. And I love hearing those success stories. So we'll talk to you next week.
Have a great day, Kim.
Thanks so much. And before we go to break, it has been so tough for all these little mom and pop businesses and our restaurants and our bars and our taverns. And Hooters Restaurants is one of my valued partners, and so would recommend that you go by and get some takeout. You can go to order.hooters.com, and they've got curbside service. They'll bring it out to you. Now, tomorrow is Wednesday, and Wednesday is Wings Day. You can buy 20 wings, and you get 10 for free. They have lunch specials every day, and kids eat free all day long when you purchase an adult entree. So their hours are Sunday through Wednesday, 11:30 to 8:30, Thursday through Saturday, 11:30 to 9 p.m. So be sure to go to order.hooters.com and pick up dinner to go. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, Steve and I are going to talk a bit about this restaurant down in Castle Rock that opened up on Sunday and just kind of unpack that a bit. So we'll be right back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. We've got a lot of great information there also. And wanted to go through a bit. This was in the Gazette, down at the Colorado Springs Gazette. And it says that Governor Polis is suspending the license of the Castle Rock restaurant that ignored the state order to basically stay closed. And he sets a plan to reopen campsites. Now, Steve, before we went on the air this morning, we were talking about this. And it looks like, it says the restaurant, CNC Breakfast and Korea Kitchen, and I saw some of the Facebook posts on it, it was standing room only. Apparently, Governor Polis says that it was causing an immediate health hazard by opening for dine-in service. And it says his department is using its authority under the state's Food Protection Act until the restaurant is no longer a threat to public health and hazards are removed. So he said the restaurant's license would be suspended indefinitely and probably for 30 days. So that's going to be the first question I have for you, Steve, as we talk about this, is licensing. Why is it that we have to have all of this licensing? Because shouldn't people be able to freely choose who they're going to do business with? You know, I know that hairdressers have to be licensed, restaurants have to be licensed. I never look for their licenses on whether or not when I go into to patronize a business, I typically have done my homework or they've been referred to me. So I don't really need the state to license them to say whether or not they can be in business. And this whole licensing thing has moved us over away from a representative government to more of an administrative state. And if you don't punch all the buttons, then they can pull your license and close you down. And I'm not sure that I think that that's a really good idea. Steve, what do you think?
Well, without fail, probably every TV station in town, when news is, let's stir something up if we don't have a whole lot of news, and they'll do one of their restaurant reports where they follow the food inspectors to a unannounced visit and they find some really nasty things. And after you watch it, you're like, oh my gosh, I've been there. And you think, well, I'm really grateful that they're doing those inspections, because there are some restaurant owners who just don't keep things up like they should. So,
I'm going to push back on you a bit.
Okay,
though.
Go ahead.
Okay. If these inspectors and those that issue licenses were doing their job, then how is it that a restaurant would get to a point where they would have, as you mentioned, disgusting situations back in the kitchen? So if the enforcers were doing their quote unquote, the enforcers were doing their job, it should have never gotten to that point, right?
In a perfect world, yes, but there's way too many restaurants that need inspecting. So I'm not, I don't want this to turn into a point counterpoint, but the inspection process and why we grant licenses to these businesses that serve the public, that kind of makes sense, because again, there are people out there who just don't care. They're in it for the money only.
Okay, but should government be doing that? Or now in the time of where we get on our computers and our phones, now granted people can put out bad reports for on a restaurant or whatever, but shouldn't we somehow have this be more in the freedom of ideas, the freedom of people to exchange information on different businesses? This is a good business, this is not a good business. And in essence, if in fact a business is out there and their cleanliness standards might not be up to what we might want, if that is put out in the free market of ideas, people make a decision whether or not they're going to go there. The business will either close down or it will do a better job. As you just mentioned, that TV stations will go to a restaurant with the health inspector and say, oh, this doesn't look good. But clearly the health inspector has not done their job. So how about if I really think that we should put this over in the free market of ideas. And I actually kind of like the point counterpoint, Steve. And you and I agree on a lot, but you know, I think we look at this a little bit differently because I think people should have the freedom to choose. Now, the next thing is, and we hear this, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, if you're not wearing a mask, you're trying to hurt other people. You know, if you're not staying home and saving a life, you're out and about, you want to kill somebody. I mean, these are those underlying narratives out there that I'm really troubled about. So as we go back to Rudyard Kipling, it's like, who is saying this? And it is now, and when we were talking with Rob Nadelson yesterday, it is now in these different politicians and bureaucrats' best interest to make sure that the draconian decisions that they have made, that they can back that up. So who is saying this? Well, the Tri-County Health Department, Governor Polis. If, in fact, people do get together like they did at this restaurant on Sunday, and 2 weeks from now, we don't have a spike in COVID deaths, then it starts to chip holes in their narrative. And that's one of the reasons why I think that they are working so hard to shut all this down, is because I don't think the numbers are going to be matching up with the narrative. And I think in some ways they're trying to protect themselves. Steve, what do you think?
Agreed. I think somewhere in the last 10 days or so, we concluded that the mask sets a stage. It kind of contributes to a certain atmosphere of fear. You know, not to say that there aren't biological reasons for utilizing the mask, but at the same time, it sets that appearance, and it sets that little bit in your mind or in people's minds, is that there's still something lurking here. There's still something very dangerous that we're coping with.
So what's the other symbol of the mask? So the other symbol of the mask is that you, first of all, you can't smile at anybody. You don't have the human interaction with all the social distancing that we have had. So people, you know, we're social beings, and the fact that people can't even go, you know, little old lady can't go get her hair done, which, you know, that may be some of the few human interactions she has, but there's something about human touch. There's something about smiling with each other. You know, there's something about going to church. And these politicians and bureaucrats have shut all that down. Now, why? And what is the other symbol about a face covering? It's that it's sit down and shut up. And, you know, so this edict that we have in my hometown of Lone Tree, it's not that you have to wear a mask. You have to wear a face covering. And it's looking like studies are showing that those are maybe 2% effective, maybe 2%. And if you want to wear a mask or a face covering, and to protect yourself by 2%, go ahead. But this idea that to shame somebody else for not doing that, this is more, I think, about control, Steve, than about really protecting the public. And so when we say who, first of all, it's these politicians, bureaucrats that are trying to cover their rear ends on these edicts. And just 2 days ago, and both David Horowitz has reported this at the Conservative Review, and Dr. Deborah Birx, on Business Insider, she said that she is concerned that the CDC is inflating the mortality rates and case numbers by up to 25%. Now, when I was challenging on the special meeting here in Lone Tree about, and actually another one of the people that had weighed in as well, we asked for what's the data? What is the data why you are making this decision that there will be mandatory face coverings if you go into a retail establishment? And the response I got back from the city manager was, we don't really have time to tell you exactly what that is. Just go to the CDC site and the Colorado Department of Public Health and Information, and it's all there. Well, you know, we're watching it. Patty is looking at this every day, and it's changing every day. It's up and down. And then when we have Dr. Birx come out and say that maybe these things are being inflated by 25%, but yet these are the numbers that they are using to shut down restaurants and make people cover their faces. It's starting to not pass the mustard test with me, Steve. Your thoughts?
Well, how do I say this? It shouldn't pass the muster test. It stinks because we plainly see many indicators now, and we kind of joke about it. We talk about the fake headline, woman attacked by shark dies of COVID-19.
Yeah, right.
Well,
right.
There's, you know, they've already borne out that there is a financial incentive to keep stamping these death certificates, COVID-19, when, again, we've learned a new word, comorbidity. There was something else going on there.
Well, and a couple of other things, and Patty brought up this point, and this is really important. After that big rally down at the Capitol, you know, where people were together, or right before we had the shutdown when Polis announced that there was going to be a shutdown, you know, everybody ran to the stores. We should have had spikes in our numbers, our COVID numbers, and we haven't. So that's really an important point to make. And 59% of the deaths here in Colorado have occurred in nursing homes. And that's less than 2% of the Colorado deaths are under the age of 40. And so certainly we need to take a look at this. The vulnerable, those that are in our nursing homes and our senior centers, we need to be taking extra precautions there. But shutting down our economy, shutting down people's livelihoods. And, you know, many people that are saying, hey, they're too scared to go out of their houses, they're still collecting checks or they're working from home. They don't understand that people have their livelihoods on the line here. And for Polis to come out and close this restaurant down, it's like, how about we have freedom to choose? People can choose whether or not they want to go there or not. And so the inconsistency that you can sit down and eat out at DIA, but you can't go to a restaurant. You know, I think that's the thing that I'm starting to also look at, as well as the inconsistencies. So I want to ask John Buckingham with Presidential Wealth Management what he thinks. There's inconsistencies. And John, how can we get this economy opened back up?
Well, I think the first thing, I mean, you're looking at the numbers and the data, and that's where you start. You start crunching the statistics and saying, okay, well, just as you said, you know, Colorado, you said it's less than 2% under the age of 40. Well, it's less than 3% under the age of 45 throughout the nation right now, based on the CDC's numbers that have passed away with COVID-19, not necessarily from it, obviously, as you guys mentioned, which, you know, right now more people have died of the flu than of COVID-19 under the age of 45. Now, that's not complete data by any means, but when you're looking at everything and saying, just as you just mentioned, the vast majority of the deaths with COVID-19 are over the age of 65. You've got 80% of deaths in the country over 65. So let's isolate. Let's go ahead and do a mix of what the two sides want to do and say, let's reopen the economy because the vast majority of workers are under the age of 65 and thus less vulnerable. Let's get the nursing homes especially as quarantined as we can. And let's be honest, there's not a perfect system. There's no perfect solution here where everybody is going to make it throughout, and, you know, not to minimize deaths because, you know, it's obviously painful for those that are going through it and their families. But at the same point in time, we have to understand that, you know, if we stay shut down, if we stay locked down, we either have two choices: stay locked down until we have a vaccine, or we reopen and start building up the herd immunity to this disease. It's new, and so people are scared. They don't understand it. And that leads us to, we have to test more. We need more data to get a more accurate picture of what's going on. But we can't wait because you've got other issues that are out there besides COVID-19 that we have to deal with. I mean, we've shut down almost all preventative medical care. We've shut down the ability to socialize, the ability to work, to earn a living, which creates the financial hardships and everything else. So we have to come up with a mixed plan. It's not going to be perfect. And, you know, there's going to be errors along the way because this is new, but we need to get the economy reopened Otherwise, we face a myriad of other issues that are going to cause more problems than COVID-19.
You know, and one other thing, John Buckingham, and you mentioned about preventative health care, or, you know, so like my friend Dr. Jill Vecchio is a radiologist, and she's been in, you know, early detection of breast cancer, and they haven't been doing much business at all, and that saves lives. So there's all these things that I just find it interesting that we haven't really thought about, because the headlines on this whole COVID-19 thing is just scaring the living daylights out of people. So what's your final thought on that, John Buckingham?
Well, final thought is that we need to get them back to work, especially the 1.4 million healthcare workers that have been laid off because they don't have enough to do, because their normal jobs are elective surgeries and preventative care. We need to get them back to work to get other issues taken care of. I think that, you know, first and foremost, we got to reopen, and we've got to just do it as smart and efficiently as we can.
Okay, John, I have one final question, because sure. As I look at these unemployment numbers, I mean, they are terrifying. They're like depression era stuff in the 30s. And I mean, do you think that we can get people back to work? Are we going to get these numbers back down quickly, or what do you think?
Well, it all depends on how long we stay shut down. The quicker we get back to opening up the economy, the quicker we're going to be able to build up those temporary job losses can remain temporary, and we can get those people back to work quickly if we get reopened. The longer we stay shut, the harder it is, and the more those temporary jobs become permanent job losses because businesses shut down permanently. And so we have to do it quickly.
Okay. Now, John Buckingham, you, Jason McBride, and your whole team over there at Presidential Wealth Management, I mean, you guys are watching this. You're helping people with their investment portfolios, their own economic well-being. And I think there's opportunity, but there may be changes to be made. I know that you and your colleagues will sit down with folks and help them out. What's your phone number over there, John?
It's 303-694-1600.
That's 303-694-1600. And John, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Talk to you then.
You bet. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, Patty Kergan is a researcher. She's an author. She has written a really important piece, Why Work, which is at my website. Be sure and check that out and give that a like. And when we come back, we're going to unpack what is happening here with the CARES Act and the unemployment and the dignity of work, all those questions out there. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
Did you know Hooters wings can fly? That's right. Your favorite wings can be picked up for to-go and can even be delivered right to your doorstep. Take advantage of Hooters' delicious lunch specials, like our seaworthy Baja fish tacos, mouthwatering Western burger, or our new roasted wings. Lunch specials are available to go Monday through Friday from 11:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Curbside service available. Place your order online at order.hooters.com. Get your wings to fly only at Hooters.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's kimmunson.com. That's MONSON.com. And one other thing I wanted to mention before we get to Patty on why work and unemployment and all is that Jen Hewlin, as you know, she opened up and the health department came over and shut her down. It looks like they're getting to a point where she's back to where she can do curbside service. But with all this, she's got legal fees. She's got operating costs that really would be great to help her out with, because she has been one of the first ones out there to take a stand here for freedom. So go to FreedomFi. That's FreedomFi. And then put in Jen Hulan, that's H-U-L-A-N, help Jen Hulan, and it would be great if you helped her. She's taken a stand, and it'd be great to help her with her legal fees. Steve, did you get that figured out? I know you were trying to contribute. Did you get that figured out yet? Because there's one little wonky thing, and that is if you are going to give an amount that isn't, I can't remember what we have, it's like 50 or 25 or whatever, but if you click on other, then you have to click on donate, and then it comes up, and you can put the amount in that you want to put in. Did you get that figured out, Steve? Because I know you're trying to figure that one out.
I did. There's some type of acknowledgement at the bottom in terms of, you know, our agreement type thing. And I think I zigged when I should have zagged. It blew up.
Okay.
But I did it later in the day, and it went through just fine.
Okay, great. And her birthday was yesterday. And I don't know what her age is, but I think it'd be fun if everybody went over and gave her $29, because, you know, that's what women are. We're 29 forever. So anyway, let's jump over here with Patty Kergan, though. She has written a really important piece. You can find that at my website, kimmunson.com, and it is Why Work. And Patty Kergan, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim.
And I always want to say thank you. You do the research for the show, and you do such an amazing job. So thank you for all that you do on that. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Kim. I enjoy doing it, and I'm glad that I could be of assistance to both you and your listeners.
Okay. Let's jump in here, though. You have really taken a look at this whole unemployment thing and the dignity of work. And this piece that you've done, Why Work, is a really important story. You said it's based on a true story about two brothers, and then you take that and you bring it around to what's happening, you know, in America. And I couldn't believe it when you told me this, but some people are making more money not working than working.
Yes, because of the federal portion of the unemployment compensation that people are getting, it's a $600 per week addition above what they get from their state through the end of July. So that's just a little bit under $10,000 that somebody can get going back to March. So from the end of March to the end of July. And
okay,
that's a lot. And again, that's above what they're getting. So in fact, yesterday I was talking to somebody, and they're in the recruitment industry, and they were talking to a prospect candidate. And the response was, you know what, I'm making more now being on unemployment than if I took this position, so I think I'm just going to stay where I am. And it's sad that that's what you're hearing. I can understand sometimes if somebody has a family and there's financial constraints. From a financial standpoint, I can see where they're coming from, but from a dignity standpoint in trying to be self-productive and be relying upon yourself versus the government, I can't understand it. And as my article points out, I prefer to be self-reliant, because if I'm relied on the government, what they give me, they can easily take away. And I just don't want to have to bow down to the government asking for more at some point in time.
You know, and Patty, I think we could make a correlation. What you just said is what the government gives you, the government can take away. So we were talking about licensing in the second segment. So the government grants you a license, and then they can take it away. And in America, it was really supposed to be that the government was supposed to be small and constrained, and that we didn't ask permission from the government to do things, but that the government asked permission from us. We've kind of gotten things opposite that now. But your point of what the government gives you, the government can take away. So right now there's all of this unemployment money, and it's kind of astonishing, because this is not sustainable for us to do this. And we've, you know, you kind of can move that over to this whole universal based income that we're talking about. I mean, I think the two are pretty related. What do you think, Patty?
Oh, I do. I look back at what your guest Alan Thomas was saying on Friday about freedom creep. So you put the $600 into the CARES bill, and people, it's it's almost like a drug. You can get addicted to it. It's like, wow, this is really cool. I don't have to work and all this money comes flying through the door. On top of the $1,200 that everybody got, or I shouldn't say everybody, but people who made within the financial constraints. But so now you have a bill that's been introduced by the Democrats in the, at the national level, and it's asking, or not asking, it's stating that anybody who is over the age of 16, so it's 16 people who have never worked, or most have never worked, they would get $2,000 a month. And this would continue until they said it would be a minimum of 6 months and probably 12 months. So minimum of six, probably 12. Of all the articles that I read, only two mentioned that there's actually a little phrase in there, and it says that this would go on until we get to the pre-coronavirus employment rate, which was a historic rate. We probably won't get there for at least a decade. And so we could be giving this kind of money for a decade. And then if you are a single person, you would get this $2,000 if you make less than $130,000 annually. And a married couple, it's $260,000. And my head's just boggling, because where are you going to get all this money? And $260,000 for a married couple, $130,000 for a single person. And so it goes back to what we have talked about in a previous article, two things. One is the Overton window. So the $600 was an introduction to what they're trying to pass in this bill. And it's also going to vote buying, because the number is 16. And if people remember, the bill here in Colorado was that if you were 16 years old, you were able to vote in selective elections. So they're trying to, the Dems, who are the predominant sponsors of this, they're moving the Overton window. So they creep it in, using Alan's terminology. They're keeping the $600 in, and now they're raising it to $2,000, and they've also raised the income level as well.
Okay, so Patty, are you saying that people would still would be working, they'd be making $130,000 as an individual, and so they would be receiving their wages, and then in addition, another $2,000 a month? Is that what we're talking about?
That's what we're talking about, which is mind-boggling. And where do you get all this money? Because it would cost trillions of dollars to do this. Somebody had actually estimated that it would be around $8 trillion per year. And that would require every single dollar from the revenue from federal, state, and local budgets. So you wouldn't have any money left for anything else, including the interest on the debt, which right now is, I think it's a third of what they bring in from taxpayer monies, our money. And it's wow. Interesting, because Finland actually tried this a few years ago, and the people push back, because they're like, wait a minute, we're just throwing out this money, and the people at the higher end were paying much higher taxes, and they finally said, we're stopping this. So I think they only had it for a couple of years.
Well, and so that goes back to your piece that's at the website, Why Work? So the people that have been, you know, taking risk, maybe they're working 60, 70 hours a week instead of just 40, but they're working to create more income, more wealth, then they will be penalized for doing so as they're taking money to do this universal based income. And so then what happens, and then this is where you go to socialism and communism, is when you start to penalize people for taking risk and being creative and innovative, then they quit doing that. They say, why should I do that? And then you start to have the economy just totally fall apart. Patty, let's go to break. Mm-hmm. This is so important. It's almost mind-boggling. It's not sustainable. It doesn't make any sense. But it's, you know, it's like, why? So let's continue. These are the kinds of conversations you and I have all the time. I love it. So let's go to break. This is Kim Munson. I'm talking with Patty Kurgan. We'll be right back.
Predovich and Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
A recent study finds that COVID-19 economic disruption could force half of small businesses to close within 6 months. Local small business owner Jen Hewlin, Waters Edge Winery, who pledged her home for the loan to start her business, chose to fully open her business last week. As a reasonable individual, she had agreed to a pause in her business until we could better understand COVID-19. The curve has been flattened. There are enough respirators. Effective treatments are available. But the bureaucrats at Tri-County Health said no and shut her down. Jen is fighting for her economic life. Help her with legal costs and operating expenses. Go to KimMunson.com for the link to help Jen through her crowdfunding campaign.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, KimMunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's KimMunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. There is so much great information there, and you're the first to get that. That comes out on Sundays, and be sure and sign up for that. And then go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. On the line with me is researcher and author Patty Kurgan. She's written a very important piece, which is actually, there's several important pieces if you go through our writer's circle there. The most recent one is Why Work. And Patty, a couple of things. First of all, what you've described about this $600 a month unemployment on top of what people would be getting from the state.
This is $600 per week right now. That's what they're doing.
Per week. Right. Oh, that's right. Okay. On top of unemployment that people are already getting, which means they may be making more on unemployment than if they were working, which takes us over to the question of why work. But and then that's moving over to the Overton window, Patty. Let's explain that just a little bit. Do you want to take that or you want me to take it? You go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay, so the Overton window is, let's say that you have a window and, you know, right down the middle is, you know, kind of the ideas of, maybe you should explain it, but it's where public opinion is moved back and forth. So it can move to the right, it can move to the left, and then public policy comes out of how the public feels about different things. And so you can have the media move an issue to the left, and we've continued to move to the left on the Overton window of less freedom and more government intervention. Patty, what else would you say about that, or did I kind of hit that?
I think you did a great job.
Okay. So moving the Overton window then on towards universal based income. We've seen that issue has been introduced, and it used to be kind of out there. Now it's becoming more mainstream, and now we're seeing the Democrats introduce this. You said, Is there any Republicans that are on this as well that you know of, Patty?
Not offhand. I think what I've been told is there's some people underground who are like, man, this might work. I have to find out more about it. But I don't think any Republican or conservative has come out and said this is a great idea.
But on the short term, it's vote buying, because people can say, oh, my gosh, I would love to have that free money. Yes, I'll go ahead and give you my vote. But it's not sustainable, Patty. I think it'll crash our country if we get to that point. What do you think?
I agree 100%. And going back to a comment that John made when you were talking to him, he talked about temporary unemployment. And no one's really using that term. So, you know, the governor and all the bureaucrats have used the term essential businesses that are allowed to remain open. To me, that's an arbitrary term. But when the businesses were closed, the hope was that these people, as businesses opened up, would get their jobs back. So it's not a typical, you know, like everybody's starting to talk about recessions. It wouldn't be a typical recession, because a recession is over a long period of time and then it peaks. Where this is like all at once, everybody was unemployed. And John is absolutely correct. The sooner we get these businesses open, the sooner people will get back to work. And hopefully people will understand that in the long run, it's to their benefit to take these jobs, regardless of the extra $600 per week that they would be getting. So, but some of it in the papers, like when you're talking about the media, they're helping the Overton window, because it's just unemployment, unemployment. Hopefully this is, the bulk of it will be temporary unemployment and not permanent unemployment.
But Patty, the longer this goes out, our small businesses are really struggling. In fact, I saw that Sweet Tomatoes, which is a great little, you know, salad buffet place, that they are not going to open up any of their 92 locations when we come out of this whole COVID thing, and they're blaming it on the COVID 19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption, and that will reverberate through, you know, so they will no longer be renting their locations. I mean, there's going to be consequences to that that I think people haven't really even thought about.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why we have to reopen as soon as possible. And the data doesn't show that we shouldn't be opening up. And it's interesting, because when you listen to the governor speak in his he usually does, sometimes it's once every day, and sometimes it's like every other day he has a little conference. Or I heard Dr. Douglas on one of the radio shows yesterday, and it's like everybody's passing the buck. Nobody wants to take responsibility for, well, I'm the one that made the decision. It's always, well, you know, I suggested this, it should be this way, but I'm putting it in the hands of somebody else to make the decisions. Well, somebody has to decide now, as quickly as possible. Let these businesses open up. And as so, you were saying, you gave some of the deaths statistics earlier, and every life is important. It truly is. The fact of the matter, though, is people are dying within their souls because they won't go outside. They're afraid. They're living in fear. There's a cost to that. And then even with preventive medicine, there's going to be a lot of people who will or have had repercussions because they weren't able to see their physician or their dentist. So,
well, and Patty, there's one other thing that seems really cruel to me, and that is that here we're saying that we want to take care, you know, help people in our senior centers. And certainly, I mean, every life is valuable, but there are people that are dying alone that, you know, they can't get in to, you know, people can't, their family members cannot come to be with them in the last, you know, last days of their lives. There's something really cruel about that as well. And I'm just kind of starting to get my brain around that.
Well, I actually have a story where I know somebody personally where that's exactly what happened. The dad and the mom is in a senior center, and the dad has had a lot of problems and was already in a special section of the assisted living. And when the coronavirus came, they locked it down so the mom and the dad couldn't see one another. And then even the daughter couldn't go see her mom or dad. And the dad died. So, and the mom was not allowed to go see her husband and say goodbye. And that was a couple months ago. And the daughter never got to even comfort her mom during this time of grief, let alone she couldn't say goodbye to her dad. So it is sad. It's very sad.
Well, and as social beings, the fact that we're saying, and it should never have been the word social distancing. And again, I think that the narrative wasn't an accident. Social distancing, it was really physical distancing. But we're social beings, and there just seems like there's something nefarious that's going on here, Patty. I know we're about out of time. What's your thoughts on that?
Again, it goes back to being arbitrary. Essential businesses, non-essential businesses, 6 feet, 9 feet. Why 6 feet? And then, as we have talked on the show a couple times, it's like, you know, this is a family, and then you have somebody with a little bit of power behind his badge, and it's like, you know, you're not supposed to be together, which is ridiculous. So I think some of it's power and control.
Well, I think it is as well. And so I would so highly recommend that people go to the website and look at this Why Work, because there is dignity in work. It's been the American idea to be industrious and productive and creative and innovative. And it seems like that there's, tapping that down. So, Patty Kergan, what would be the final thought that you want to leave with our listeners today?
I would use Chris Cantwell's story about this lady who had never owned a business in her life. She was in project management, and she decided not only was she going to work, she was going to take the risk and own her own business and have employees. And that really is the American dream. And I wish her the best.
Well, and I guess one other question. Getting the state open back up, what would you say? And you made a really important point. All of this has been arbitrary, and that's what doesn't make sense to me, is the fact that it's so arbitrary. Your final comment, Patty.
We need to get back to work. It's even for the dignity of the people, to keep their brain active, have that social interaction, whether it's with their coworkers or with their clients. There's just so many positive aspects of people working, and by having everybody home, you really have cut the majority of all the good aspects out. Let people choose. Give them the freedom to choose. Would they like to come to the office? No, I don't. Okay, you can stay home. Yes, I do want to come to the office. Let them in. Let them choose whether they want to wear a mask or not. It's, you know, personal choice is very important to me, and I know it is to a lot of other people.
Well, Patty Kergan, thank you so much. And yes, personal choice is freedom. And then I found this quote very interesting from H.G. Wells. He said, moral indignation is jealousy with a halo. I have to think about that today. So today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. I don't want to cry.